Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and visibly absent today is my cohort in crime, Lee Cantor. I believe he, Abby, and Max are enjoying the French Quarter and the rest that New Orleans has to offer. They are probably throwing down some espresso and beignets, but we are going to power through without them. We have two marvelous guests. This is one of my favorite Atlanta Business Radio things to do because it is a special episode solely dedicated to business people who are serving an organization that we hold very dear to our hearts, TIE Atlanta. And so we have two folks with us today. One gentleman you'll recognize, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone. We're going to have him at the top of the show, Mr. Mark Carlson. And a little bit later in this show, we are going to visit with a financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual, Mr. Brent Burke. But as we get things kicked off, please join me in welcoming a shareholder in the firm of Baker Donaldson. Apparently, he's got a little expertise and knowledge in the corporate merger and acquisition space. Please join me in welcoming to the show Mr. Mark Carlson. How you doing, man?
Doing great today. Thank you for having me here.
Well, you are more than welcome. I've been looking forward to it. I've seen you on the schedule for a little while. It's been a while, but we've had a chance to visit before, but it's been long enough. Can you get me and our listeners kind of caught up on Baker Donaldson and particularly your M&A practice? What are you guys out there trying to do for folks?
Well, right now we've been pretty busy doing things for folks. It's been a good fall for M&A, certainly better than things were last year.
And it seems like they're that, and I don't know the first thing about M&A.
So it's been a good end of the summer, good fall, and it feels like it's going to continue in through the end of this year. Our firm has about 650, maybe 675 lawyers by now across the Southeast. We're from Houston all the way down to Fort Lauderdale and up to Washington, D.C., and just about everywhere in between. We've got an office here in Atlanta, one in Macon. Between them, we have about 75 lawyers, I'll guess, but I don't know the exact number. We're continuing to grow. We just had a welcome breakfast for a new attorney this morning.
I thought you were moving kind of slow. Did you eat heavy this morning?
No. No, it's just the weekend. Coming back from a weekend, Monday's always the day that takes a little bit of ramping up on. But so our corporate practice is very much focused on emerging companies, very much focused on privately held companies, and a lot of focus on international work, especially inbound transactions coming into the United States. On the emerging company front, the entrepreneurial focus of TIE is what drew us to that organization. So we've been a sponsor for TIE for about 2 years and involved for three, and very much supportive of the organization, and really feel like we get a great value as a sponsor, but also we get to participate a lot in some positive things that we're doing in the entrepreneurial community through our involvement with TIE.
Don't you just love hanging out with people from emerging companies? There's an energy level, there's a vigor, there's a spark in there. I don't care how my day is going. I got to tell you, when someone from a startup or an emerging organization comes in here, it just lifts the energy in the entire room. You must get that every day too.
Absolutely. There's a forward-looking enthusiasm. Everything is go, go, go. We've got to do it now. They don't cut corners, but they don't take a lot of BS. They make decisions and they go. And for someone in a bigger organization who deals with some very large organizations in transactions I do, it's nice to have that energy and that enthusiasm to liven up my day.
So I've been to your offices before with Lee as well, and I've seen you guys out and about at TIE and other organizations. You guys, you're very involved in the community. But my point is, I mean, this is a pretty substantial law firm. So I'm trying to envision what your life must be like with one leg firmly planted in this substantial law firm, and you've got to navigate all that brings to bear. And then you're also out there with a bunch of renegades.
Fair question.
Yeah, speak to that a little bit, will you?
Absolutely. But it's fundamental to our transactional business department strategy to focus on emerging companies. So I mentioned, we're in Houston, we're in Atlanta, we're in Washington, D.C., but we're in a lot of other smaller markets. So hopefully Lee is going by our New Orleans office. If he's not there, we can go by our Baton Rouge or Mandeville. We've got three offices in Louisiana. We're in Birmingham. We're in Chattanooga. We're in places where there's an emerging company community, but it's not big. I was at a startup in Mountain View, California. So I know the far end of the other end of the spectrum compared to the startup community in Chattanooga. But if you take all of these people across the Southeast and look at what they're doing and the capital sources that are focused on the Southeast right now, then there's a lot of connectivity that needs to be put together. And if you can be one of the sources to put that connectivity together, you jumpstart a lot of companies that in the communities we're in matter. If you help start five startups in Nashville or five in Chattanooga or even 5 or 10 here in Atlanta, it changes the environment. So we are very consciously trying to help the startup community across the Southeast, but by being almost connective tissue to investors and angels and companies in different cities and incubators in different cities to put them together with that network across the Southeast. So it's very much part of our business strategy to do that across the Southeast. And now, granted, it's not completely easy to go from 700-person law firm with we've got former Congress people in our public policy group in D.C. and then take that all the way down to a startup client that's very concerned about every dollar and where that goes. But we've focused on it enough now that we feel pretty comfortable, and we've worked out some good arrangements with the clients we've worked with.
So you mentioned just a moment ago some experience on the West Coast with some startup stuff. What is your backstory? Can you kind of walk us through that?
I'll do it real. I'll try to do it real
we
fast.
We don't need anything from a rap sheet.
No, it's all above board. So I was in law school on the East Coast, but my best buddies from college, all of us had promised to each other that we would go to San Francisco after college. I got sidetracked. I went to Harvard for law school. It was worth the detour. But shortly after that, I made it out to San Francisco. The one thing I can say is that of the four of us who made this pledge, at least one of us has lived in San Francisco the entire time.
Oh, wow.
So we got up to three. I was there when there were three of us there. But for the time that I was there, I was at a major New York law firm, but in the San Francisco office. And this was 97 to 2000. And like a lot of people did in 2000, I jumped ship to join a startup, went down to Silicon Valley to help make wireless chips. And this was my first introduction into the wireless technology area. I do a lot of work in that space, and that was my first introduction into that space. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was the 10th person into a startup. We got up to 40. The bubble burst. We went down to 30. The bubble didn't blow back up, so we went down to zero. But I got a fantastic experience, learned a lot, met a lot of wonderful people, and learned a lot about a great technology area. So it was a wonderful experience for me. It was unfortunate that we weren't able to do what we wanted to do, because the market wasn't quite where we thought it would be, which is a lot of people have that problem where they see the market emerging a lot faster than it actually does. But even knowing that and experiencing that is a good lesson for me, and I try to explain that to the entrepreneurs I work with, that they need to plan for things to develop longer than they hope it will take.
Now, do you find yourself sometimes having to maybe temper an entrepreneur's enthusiasm? Because I know if you don't want to, right? You don't want to do anything to crush their dreams.
Right. You never want to do that.
But you want to be realistic and helpful.
Right. So y'all, as attorneys and all manner of advisors, accountants are the same way. Wealth advisors are the same way. We have to gauge our clients' optimism and sort of realism. And if they're realistic, then you don't need to temper anything. If they're overly enthusiastic and don't see the real possibilities for getting sidetracked or having negative things happen on their path, then you have to introduce that to them. So a lot of it is understanding people, understanding how to communicate with people, and then to gauge that individual's perspective and temper your advice based on the lenses through which they see the world.
So tell me a little bit about TAI. I know you've had a great experience with them, and I know they're not the only organization in which you and the firm have chosen to invest time, energy, and resources. But I know when I go to a TAI function, I see somebody from Baker & Donaldson there. It's often you. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Absolutely. First of all, it's been fantastic. And I say that from the standpoint of a sponsor and also as a participant there to learn information and find out what's going on in various industries. But for us, the overlap or the focus on the entrepreneur is the main reason that we got involved initially. And then from there, just it's little things. They work for the whole life cycle of the entrepreneur. They've got programs for high school kids. I've taken my one of my grade school sons to see one of the strategy sessions for these high school teams working on their business models, and my 11-year-old fell in love with it. He wants to join the program as soon as they'll let him in, and that's to be able to create that kind of enthusiasm among kids and elementary school kids, but what they do at the high school level is fantastic. But they take it all the way to the point where you've got that person with a $20 million business who's trying to figure out how they can quintuple the size of it, break $100 million, and go from there. And they've got mentors that are appropriate for people all along that spectrum. It's just a fantastic organization. And from a sponsor standpoint, there is no organization that I've ever interacted with, either from the standpoint of a lawyer working with a sponsor or as a practice group chair kind of approving other people's sponsorships. There's no other organization that is so focused on measuring the return that the sponsor gets. So I sat down with the president of the organization and two other people from the board about 2 weeks ago just to talk through what we were getting, if we were satisfied with what we were getting, ideas to have better interface with the members of TAI, better interface with the other sponsors of TAI, and they're proactively having these discussions with us in a way that I hope people are listening out there that no other sponsors, no other organizations that we sponsor takes that kind of care.
Well, I got to tell you, our experience at Business Radio X has been very similar. Not only have we had an opportunity to attend a few of the meetings when we first kind of got involved, but we now actually participate in their Council of Board Advisors program. And the depth of experience that they share with us in those meetings is incredibly helpful. But I guess I hadn't put my finger on it till you just now mentioned it. They are so focused on making sure that we're getting what we need, and it's I'm not surprised at all that they extend that to the sponsors, and I love the stuff that they have going on for younger folks and small burgeoning organizations. In fact, they kind of leaned into us a little bit. We actually are a little small for the COBA thing, but they leaned into us a little bit and made a few adjustments so that we could benefit from some of those processes.
Wonderful. That's great. That doesn't surprise me at all.
They're just marvelous people. I got to ask you, with all the stuff you got going out in the community, with all the stuff you got going with the M&A activity, what do you do with these kids in your personal time?
Actually, I'm a lacrosse coach. I coach
really?
Both of them in lacrosse in a great organization called Northside Surge Youth Lacrosse. And then I'm a guitar player, so they both play instruments, so I try to spend some time with them each week. One plays trumpet, one plays piano, so I try to work with them on that as well. I have a master plan to create a jazz quartet out of our music room, and I'm halfway there. We're not having any more children, so we're going to have to recruit other kids from the neighborhood, but we just need a drummer. And what else do we need for our quartet? Actually, we don't even need a quartet.
Should be like a total of four,
we need
right?
A bass player.
I mean, I'm
there
no
we go.
Musician.
Thank you.
But
thank you for helping me out there. We need a bass player. So if anybody out there has a 9, 10, 11-year-old bass player that wants to be part of a jazz quartet, just let me know.
Wow. What a fun way to spend time with your kids.
No, coaching has been fantastic for me. The music is just a delight. It's one of my all-time my lifelong enjoyments, but the coaching has really been fun for me. I mostly enjoy getting to know the other kids. They're the kids that you'll coach 1 year and then you switch levels and they don't switch levels and then you see them a year and a half later. And it's just fun watching the development. And basically I feel any kid I ever coach, if I see them anywhere, I feel like I can continue to coach them. And advise them not to do whatever nearly delinquent thing they're trying to do. And but it's just fun. I really like working with the kids.
So before we wrap this segment, I want to get a little counsel while I've got you trapped here in the studio.
He means it. The door's locked.
Exactly. No, the question centers around how to shop for a lawyer, I guess is the easiest way. Because like Lee and I, we have a neat little business. Things are going pretty well in some ways. We want to grow in this way. If it's not already the case, certainly before very long, we're going to need some counsel. I don't even know what questions to ask. I don't know what to look for. So any counsel that you might advise small business people, I guess, emerging companies, on how to go about engaging?
Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't treat it much differently than anything else. And the main difference is that you don't necessarily understand what their lawyers are doing for you. So get them to explain that. Say, okay, I need to engage a lawyer, but I don't know entirely what I need to engage a lawyer for. I just know from a sense and because everyone's telling me that. So ask them, what are you going to do for me? This is where I am. What are the things you're going to go do for me and why? And then also ask them, even though we hate to be asked this, what's it going to cost me to do those different things? But it's not going to be so much, I mean, hopefully they will explain these things to you. Hopefully they'll ask you a lot of questions about your business and what your objectives are and you and try to get you to know you. If you're an entrepreneur, they want to know you as an individual and as a business person because your individual characteristics and goals will drive a lot of what you do with the business. But the way they answer the questions about what they're going to do will tell you a lot about their expertise level. It'll tell you a lot about how they communicate and if they're going to be able to communicate with you in a way that's effective for you. I mean, I might be a great communicator with person A, but a terrible communicator with you, and that doesn't matter. It means I'm not the right lawyer for you right. Because I can't communicate with you. And I'll also tell you how rushed they are, because it's the kind of question that they won't necessarily want to answer, but if they understand the importance of the relationship and they understand the importance of keeping you informed, it will be time that they want to spend. So I would just ask them, this is my situation. What would you do for me over the next 6 months? And tell me in detail so I understand what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Well, to me, that's very empowering, just the idea that I can and should go in there and put the onus on them and say, look, I've got this sense that I should be looking for. What can and will you do for me? That makes me feel better right there, because I guess I had it in my head needed to go in there like, I need this, I need that, right. I need – So what's next for you, like between now and the end of the year, you personally and Baker Donaldson, where are you going to be focusing your efforts?
We've got a lot going on in the emerging company space. And on the 5th, we're doing a privacy law and cybersecurity focused event on international work. We've got some pretty interesting, and I don't know all the names of the people, and I apologize for this, but we have some really good folks from Georgia Tech talking about cybersecurity. We've got, this is an inbound focused program. So we've got an entrepreneur, a very successful entrepreneur from Israel, who's going to be on the program. Early in January, we're going to do a Series A mock term sheet negotiation at Atlanta Tech Village. So we'll go over there and do a mock negotiation, which should be fun. And then we'll go back into next year for our Baker Donaldson Southeastern Capital Conference. We've done that the last 2 years, had multiple angel and venture investors from four or five states come into Atlanta, had companies from four or five states pitch, and it's been a real success for me. For the end of the year, it's just getting some deals closed. We have a couple things that are rolling. We always want to get those squared away by the end of the year, and I've got a presentation I'm doing in the next couple days on tax inversion. So there's kind of
Not tax evasion, tax inversion.
Inversion. So like the Burger King transaction where they want to do the merger with Tim Hortons to move themselves offshore for tax purposes. So that I'm doing a presentation on that.
Well, I want to go to the mock-up thing and before I go to the family reunion and ask all my relatives for more money.
Okay.
Don't you think that would
absolutely
be
you definitely want to know how to negotiate with your relatives. So it's not just going to be eggnog. You need to bring more than that to the table.
Well, what a blast, man. This has been a lot of fun. You got to come by more often, man. We always have a good time when we visit with you.
Especially when Lee's not here, right?
Yeah, you know, it just seems to go better.
I didn't say anything.
All right, so let's make sure we leave our listeners with coordinates if they want to reach out to you or somebody on your team, have a conversation about some of these things.
Mark Carlson, I'm at Baker Donaldson here in Atlanta. The phone number is 404-589-3400, and you can check our website at bakerdonaldson.com.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, hang in there with us while we visit with our next guest, will
Absolutely.
You? All right, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Brent Burke. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
Well, you're looking good, too, man. You got a jacket and everything. Mark and I didn't put our jacket.
I know did that.
Did you leave yours in the
he
car?
Looks a lot better than I did today.
Mark has a much better face for radio.
So, I mean, it really was, even in the space of 10 or 15 minutes, when you visit with someone like Mark, there's a lot to be picked up. Did you learn anything in that segment or anything surprise you?
Well, Mark and I have been sponsors and involved with Ty about the same amount of time, about the last 3 years. So I've had several opportunities, really, to get to know him. I know he's a lot smarter than I am. And he's a great reason why you need to seek advisors and surround yourself with guys a lot smarter than you.
Well, that's generally a good move. And all right, so Northwestern Mutual, a company some of us have heard of. This is not some fly by night outfit that we're trying to get off the off the ground. How long you been with them, and what's your role with them?
Sure, I'm a certified financial planner, and I've been with Northwestern Mutual in my 12th year now. And it's an old company, like you noted. They're a 157-year-old company.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that old.
Very old.
Wow.
So started as an insurance company, and we would say that we are a financial institution that deals not only with our bread and butter, which would be life insurance and disability coverage, but also wealth management for our individual and our corporate clients as well.
Straight out of school for this thing, or did you like try to go get a real job and that didn't work out, and then you went into financial services, or what was the path, man?
Yeah, bless you that you think I'm only 12 years out of school. When I was in college, I went to Georgia Southern. I had a restaurant and bar that I owned when I was a student there, and I found out real quick that that's not the way I wanted to spend my rest of my 20s, 30s, and 40s and on. And so I moved to Atlanta. I had a job with one of the Wall Street firms as a stockbroker, and I found out real quick that unless you had a million or more of investable dollars, I really couldn't help you. And so that left a lot of foundational planning undone. And so I've been a Northwestern Mutual client since 1985. And so John Crawford recruited me for a couple of years. It was everything you could want. No payment, no salary whatsoever. You're on your own. You build your own practice. So all the things you want, right? But the sky was the limit as far as what you could do, and you could build your practice any way that you wanted.
So selling alcohol to college-age kids, that seems reasonably easy to me. It seems like it would be a lot easier to do that than to try to sell someone on financial services, and certainly easier than displacing their current financial advisor. I'm fascinated by it. How does the sales and marketing thing work for a financial advisor?
Yeah, it's a challenge. The barrier to entrance to what we do is very high. I've seen as high as a 98% failure rate in it.
Wow.
And selling an intangible product to something that nobody wants to talk about. People rather talk about taxes than they would about death or planning in their business. So my passion for what I do, and seeing the way my clients have experienced the good things about our planning, and also being able to share some of the stories where folks chose not to engage, and some of the stories that they've shared, and they're not always very pleasant.
But the trust that you must have to create, cultivate, you can't get anything done until somebody trusts you. It must be you've really got to be all in when you're trying to help. You can't just swing by and knock on the door and say, I have an idea for you that will.
It doesn't work that way, easily. Yeah, my clients know that I treat our conversations with the utmost confidentiality. I tend to work with a lot of social groups that know each other well. People will often come up to my wife that are clients and say, I had lunch with your husband today, and she has no clue because I don't tell her. And it's always a challenge to make sure that that trust is heavily guarded. You know, I'm usually the guy that knows when the business is in trouble, one of the first, or knows when the marriage is in trouble, one of the first.
And see, I'm in the I do not pick up on the signals on either case. And it always costs me more to repair in both situations. But that's that's impressive. So when we have something happen like last week, you know, the stock market's going a little goofy, and even people like me on paper lost some money last week, right? Do you get the crazy calls, or do you develop a different kind of client that doesn't sweat the week-to-week thing?
That's a great question.
That was a fantastic question.
That's beautiful.
It was kind of long-winded, but I landed.
I'm just going to sit there and admire that question for a moment. That is the truth of the matter, though, is a week like last week really has very little bearing on my practice. And one of the main reasons is since I tend to work with so many closely held business owners, they are taking so much risk in their companies that I tend to be the safe place for them to be. And so a week like last week is sometimes, you know, I have to be the guy that walks them off of the ledge, but I'm not getting those calls going, should we get out of our positions in the market? That just it's not part of what I've cultivated.
So tell me more about the relationship with Ty. I mean, you guys know each other, so I know you know the experiences must be similar in some ways. But tell us through from your perspective.
Sure, I've been involved with Ty for 3 years now. The first year as just a member. One of my clients was a charter member of Ty, and he said it's a great place for you to get plugged in. And I was so impressed with the organization that the last 2 years I've been a sponsor as well. And it has been a phenomenal relationship. I want to echo what Mark was saying is I've never been involved in an organization that goes to the level to make sure that the sponsors are their needs are being met, their expectations are being met. And if they're not, how do we improve that? So they really take that bond, that relationship very serious.
I know one of the things that I enjoy most about our interaction with Ty is the focus on the youth. I have a real passion. I'm the guy that if there's kids that are selling tadpoles on the side of the road, I go and I buy the tadpoles. I mean, if you come to my door and you're like under 12 and you're selling something, you're going to make the sale. Now, you're going to work a little bit. And I'm going to ask some questions, but you're going to make the sale. But I love how much they invest in young people. I love everything that they're doing. I also particularly admire, they made a decision at some point, you guys probably know more about this than I do. At one time, they were very Indian-centric, right? And they were like the Indus entrepreneurs. And, you know, now we got a freckle-faced white girl running the thing. I mean, it is. Right?
Well, it's interesting. My client that introduced me to Ty is Indian, and about 20% of my client base is Indian. And so it was a great place to go. But the face of the organization continues to change. And it is so welcoming to folks of all walks of life.
Yeah. You know, as being participating in this COVA program, one of the things we did, one of the people on our advisory council of board advisors is a professor. And so we got to tap into his classes as a project, one of our initiatives. And it's just, I mean, just every time we turn around, we think that we've kind of tapped Ty for all the great value. I mean, we're just deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah, everywhere you turn in Ty, you'll hear this recurring thing. I'm running into people smarter than me, whether it's the high school students, whether it's the college speakers there, whether it's the angel investors or the later stage investors, or the members at large. I'm just overwhelmed by the stories, the intelligence, and just the willingness of the participants to really share their lives, to share their successes, and also share their failures with those in the organization.
And that is important. They are willing to do that, and a lot of them have what's the right term? They've made an exit or whatever, right? And they've lived through it, and they know what you're going through. And there's a group of these people, these charter members. They like pay money for the opportunity to volunteer time. Right?
That's pretty unique. You pay to play to volunteer. So they're very serious about having the folks at the table that are going to be not only impactful, but they're very committed, both with their wallet and their talents.
So I want to swing back before we wrap up this segment and I ask a similar question. I ask the same thing of Mark, and it's this idea of being properly prepared to shop for someone in your space. And maybe the council will be very similar. Yeah, I'm not sure I know what to ask. You know, a lot of times folks are using, you know, their dad's financial advisor. How should that initial conversation unfold, you think?
That's a great question.
That's two in a row. Well, they weren't in a row, but
right.
That's two in 30 minutes.
He's on a roll. I get to be the financial quarterback for a lot of my clients, and I meet about 1,000 people a year. So over the last 12 years, you know, that's 12,000 meetings. So I get an opportunity. I'm not an attorney, so I'm not writing the legal documents, but I read a lot of them and participate in making sure they're well written. I'm not a CPA, but I look at a lot of returns, and we see things that are done well and things that leave us with our scratching our head. And so very quickly, I get to form a team of advisors that I recommend. And so when I'm with a client, there's often a need for professionals other than myself. So whether it's the CPAs that can handle their international tax issues, or the attorneys that can really help them make sure that buy-sell arrangement is buttoned up and done well, who do they need to speak to? Or an exit strategy, who handles the M&A work better than anybody in town? And so often I'll give them several recommendations, but I let them know really what I think of each and who I'd recommend.
So, I mean, you're a bit of an orchestrator and quarterback. If you think I need to speak with someone for, I don't know, estate planning or M&A work, you've cultivated those relationships. I mean, to me, that would be important to somebody like me, because I don't know that I can go out and cultivate a dozen.
That's right. I've cultivated those, and I'm very candid with my clients about that. I don't make a dime out of formulating this advisory team, but what I do make sure is that it's done well, and we don't have to go back and do it later because it wasn't done well the first time.
All right. So where can our listeners go and learn more and have a conversation with you, or just hang out with you at a Thai meeting?
Sure. Come to the Thai meeting, and I'm usually there. You can reach me at my office in Peachtree Corners at 770-246-8359, or my website is same as my name, brentburke.com.
Man, that's cool. He's got his own website.
Brent Burke. Cooler than me.
So you might be smart, but he's cool.
No, I just have people that, again, smarter people than me that make sure that it happened.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, both of you, for coming down and visiting with us. And I'm quite serious. We got to do this more often. This is a lot of fun. You learn so much, and I love talking with people that can come and share when and how to capitalize on things like the Thai Atlanta. They're fantastic. And for our listeners out there, if you don't already know, atlanta.tie.org. They've always got fantastic things happening. Often we'll have it posted on our website. And certainly every month, if not more often, we'll have folks from the organization come in and get us up to speed. Gentlemen, again, thank you both.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
And thank you, Ty, for getting this coordinated and making it possible. This is Stone Payton for a non-present Lee Cantor and Ty Atlanta, who helped make this episode special. We will see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.